Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Strange Things, Volume 1, Story 1. This took place in January. Me, my two brothers, Phil and Steve, my two brothers-in-law, Josh and Anthony, and our buddy Fernando were planning to put together a young men's outdoor ministry and thought it would be a cool idea to have a meeting, like a camp out kind of thing. We decided to head out to a local lake and do a little overnight trip. Being that it was a weekend, even in January, Fernando decided to head up early and set up a tent to claim a good spot in case it was a little crowded. It was a Friday, and we all still had work, so we would just head up there as soon as we got off. Josh was the first to show up with his sons, Justin and Ethan. As he pulled up, he saw an old, weather-worn, homeless woman standing next to Fernando's tent. He said she had an empty stare and a creepy vibe about her. He got out and asked if she was all right. She said yes. He then informed her that this was their campsite. She said okay, but just stood there. He then told her that they were going to set up their stuff and asked if she would please leave. He said she turned around and headed off in the direction of the lake. By the time we had all gotten there, the sun had set. As we got our tents up and pulled our cooking gear out, Josh told us about the strange encounter with the old woman, but we didn't think much else about it. We got a fire going and cooked up a bunch of food. We then proceeded to pile as much food as we could on our cheap paper plates, trying to one-up each other in an attempt to prove our manliness by how much we could stuff our faces. After we had eaten our fill, we got on with the meeting. Everyone brought really awesome ideas to the table, and aside from a skunk that tried to bum-rush us a couple of times until Justin chucked a burning log at it, not a great idea, but pretty funny, the skunk's reaction, that is. The meeting went well. After we were done, we sat back and relaxed around the fire, talking politics, society issues, guns, BS gun laws, and philosophy. It was starting to get late, and Anthony, who was in a rush to get out of his house, had left his tent and decided to go to sleep in his car, which was down the dirt road behind some trees. The rest of us stayed up talking and eating some more. An hour or so had passed when Steve exclaimed there was a dark figure of a person standing just within the tree line in the direction of the lake. Him, Phil, and Fernando all sighed and stood up to try to see it better from above the glare of the fire. Josh, Justin, Ethan, and me had our backs to the tree line, and by the time we spun around, there was nothing there. It disappeared back into the trees, they said. This chilling sensation fell over us that whatever it was still there, just far back enough that we couldn't see it, but it could see us. You could almost feel its eyes on you as you peered into the darkness. Fernando then exclaimed that we should chase him down, believing this was a person and only one person at that, saying there's five of us guys and one of them. It was then that I realized something. There was no one else in the camp area. We hadn't seen anyone near us since we got here, not even a fire glowing in the distance from other sites. Only the old woman that Josh mentioned. I pointed this out, and all at once, the night seemed to grow quieter, colder, and darker. And they all tried to confirm that this was wrong and there must be other campers nearby. There was a moment of complete silence as we peered out into the dark vastness that seemed to have engulfed everything but us and the fire. Fernando insisted we still go after this person, not to hurt them, but to scare them off, and showed we meant business. Steve seconded the idea. Just like that, Fernando and Steve started heading for the tree line. The rest of us were a little hesitant, but we followed them. Josh grabbed his machete and handed Ethan a K-bar knife as Justin adjusted the one on his belt. Phil and I each grabbed a kerosene lantern, and I made sure I still had my buck knife in my pocket. "Wait up," I shouted. Fernando and Steve were not going very far without some sort of light. I still don't know why no one, including myself, thought to bring a flashlight. We got to the tree line, and what had seemed like a small grove of trees from the camp now looked like a dense, thick forest. I asked the guys if it seemed that way to them. They agreed. The light from the lantern and a bit of fog that must have moved up from the lake created quite the atmosphere to accompany the fact that we were chasing a dark, unknown figure through the woods, with a feeling of its presence growing thicker in the air. We should have checked on Anthony before we left, Phil said. Ha, I bet it's him running around out here, Josh said. I knew it wasn't him, and something told me it wasn't what any of us thought it was. Just then Steve yelled out, There, behind the tree there. I saw it go behind the tree. Fernando saw it too, on our right side, and charged the tree, tripping on fallen branches, bushes, and debris. There's nothing here. A chill fell over all of us again. It was right there, Steve exclaimed. At this point, I was not feeling that this was a person at all. We continued to push through the heavier and heavier brush, thinking we have to be getting close to the lake. There was no sound anywhere around us, no bug noise, no little critters moving underfoot as we passed by, nothing. Then this time from our right, we heard a twig snap. From the sound it made, it was a nice size, something you would need to put a little muscle behind to break. We all turned towards the sound but saw nothing. The sound had been close by, as if whatever it was had backtracked and circled behind us. Then Justin shouted out that there was something moving away from us ahead, and then it was gone. We followed after but still found nothing. After a bit more walking, we left the tree line and walked a short distance to the lake shore. We stopped and stood there in a silence for a moment. The blackness of the lake, the faint silhouette of the hills across on the opposite shore, and the sound of the small waves breaking in front of us made us realize just what an eerie scene in the woods this had become. Now we stood in the wide open of the lake shore. Then Fernando pointed out that if there was someone in there, they could see as plain as day on that shoreline with these two lanterns. The feeling was unanimous with everyone that we should head back and check on Anthony. I turned back to look at the tree line. Look. This time we could all make out what looked like a human figure, again standing just at the tree line, and then it just faded into the darkness of the woods. No one said a word. We all headed back to camp in relative silence, most likely not wanting to admit any fear of what we saw. We took the longer way back, finding the road that headed back into the camp. Phil and I went over to check on Anthony. He was sound asleep, wrapped in a blanket in the front seat. We didn't bother waking him. Phil and Steve, who had planned to sleep in the back of Steve's truck in their sleeping bags, changed their minds and decided to take off and head home, wishing us good luck if we chose to stay. Reluctant to pack up everything at 1 a.m, Josh, Fernando, and I opted to tough it out. Fernando was sure it must be some homeless person or the lady from that afternoon, and with that, headed off to sleep. Though he didn't advertise it, I'm pretty sure he had his Glock on him or something, and that gave him an extra air of confidence. Josh, Justin, Ethan, and I spent the next hour and a half eating the rest of a pack of hot dogs. As we roasted the dogs over the fire, we peered off into the darkness around us, wondering what or who we saw, if it was still there, or if it was ever there to begin with. Maybe it was the adrenaline or our minds getting the best of us. We spent a good amount of time trying to convince Ethan there was nothing to worry about. He eventually asked if he could sleep with a knife and Justin in his tent, and Josh said yes. Close to 3 a.m., we let the fire die and went to our tents. The night was still so quiet, but it was a scary quiet. I zipped up my tent door and went to sleep. We woke the next morning, not really talking about that night except to tell Anthony about our little trip to the lake without him, and more so joking about how we ditched him there alone. We all had our own ideas of what it was we saw. Fernando swears it was some bum that wanted to swoop in and grab some food or something when we weren't looking. Josh told me he heard a guy was attacked and killed by a mountain lion 2 days earlier, not too far from there, and that they were still looking for it and maybe it had made its way to the lake. But my brothers and me all agree it was something else, something of a demonic nature that was not too happy with our spiritual presence and our ministry meeting. But in truth, we never knew. Story number 2. I was meeting up with a buddy of mine from high school while he was on break from college. We were sitting at a local diner in one of those tiny two-person booths just chatting and catching up. As he was talking to me, telling me some story, the atmosphere in the diner started to fade out. No more clinking dishes, yammering customers. The shouts of the cooks in the back just slowly diminished as though it was all on the radio and someone was turning the volume down one notch at a time. I looked around a little confused and then looked back at my friend. He was still talking, mouth moving, but I couldn't hear him. Then I realized his eyes had turned completely black. I was so surprised I couldn't think of anything to say. Meanwhile, his mouth kept moving, and like before, his voice came back into focus like someone was slowly turning the volume knob back up until it was deafening. At first, I couldn't understand what he was saying. I was too consumed by the tone. This was no sound a human being could ever have made. It was gravelly, deep, growling, violent, vicious. There was just no way he could have done this intentionally. And this is going to sound effing weird and cliche, I know. But it was like a foreign language. I've studied 5 different languages myself, through high school and college. But this wasn't one I recognized. Eventually, it translated in my head. What he was saying was the most vile, threatening, disgusting stuff you could imagine. All kind of filthy language, horrifying imagery. It felt like my soul was being attacked. It was so far beyond any other fear I have ever experienced. He or it talked and talked. I don't know whether it was for seconds or hours, but eventually his mouth just stopped and he stared at me with black bottomless eyes of a predator. I couldn't think of anything to say. I was stunned and shocked and scared out of my effing mind. I wasn't sure if saying anything at all was just going to provoke him to, like, attack me or something. Finally, I just sputtered out, "What? Dumb, I know." And he just continued with the story he started with before all this had happened, as if nothing happened. The diner sounds were back. Reality has started up again. I was floored. I made an excuse and got up and ran to the bathroom and leaned up against the wall. I couldn't support my body. I slid to the floor. I'm not ashamed to say that I started to cry a little bit. I felt completely violated and exposed and in the most danger I've ever been. I took a few minutes to pull myself together, grabbed my phone and called my other buddy. I didn't know what else to do, but he didn't answer. I had to go back out there, but I did not want to. If there had been a back exit, I would have left. I would have left him there and never looked back. But there wasn't, so I couldn't. I went back out there and sat down. My friend looked concerned. He said he could see my pulse beating out of my neck. I didn't know what to do, so I told him what had happened. He had no idea what I was talking about. All I remembered was me saying, "What?" So, we ended the night, and as he went to give me a hug, pat in the back before he left, I froze up and thought he was going to kill me or something. But nothing happened. We went home, and that was that. I have not remained in touch with him. Every time I have seen him in passing since, or even just thought of him, I get nauseated and paralyzed with fear. Nothing like this has ever happened before or since, thank God. Believe me or not, it is what it is. And what it is exactly, I have no idea. I really don't like thinking about it too much. Next story. My wife and I were on a trip with my parents and daughter to Estes Park in September of 2009. My wife and I decided to take a little hike on our own a few days into the trip to sort of get away, just her and I talking as we hiked. The day before, we hiked the loop around Bear Lake and then continued up towards Dream Lake, but had to turn around as my daughter got cranky. She actually held up pretty well in the jerry carrier that we used to haul her around. I know we got several odd looks as I changed her diaper along the trail. On this particular day, it was fairly warm with a pleasant breeze and a few clouds as we entered the park and consulted our trail map. The hike around Bear Lake the previous day exposed me to the clarity of mountain lake water. I love the aroma of the aspen, pine, and spruce up there, all kind of mixing together, so when I find myself standing on the shores of one of these lakes at higher altitudes, I feel a particular pull. My eyes and nose are pleasantly overloaded in a way that I can't describe. I love the wilderness in general, but when I visit places like this, there is an addiction to it, an inexplicable feeling of being home even if I haven't been there before. I have to explain, while we were not in a marathon shape, we had trained before we left for this trip. Later when we got home, I still managed to develop mild symptoms of acute mountain sickness due to the volume of hiking we did that week. Anyway, given my affinity for an apparent spiritual tingling for mountain lakes, I knew I wanted to lake hike. So we settled for Bierstadt, if my memory works correctly, and parked in a small parking lot off the main road and began a small hike towards Sprague Lake, with the intent of heading towards Storm Pass. We left the truck shortly after noon and hiked for a short distance and came to a T-intersection. If I remember correctly, we turned right and hiked a little ways. Along this trail at varying distances, we saw several warnings for predatory birds. I think it was some sort of raptor warning, but I can't remember. We took note of it and continued, keeping our eyes open as we walked, but admittedly, we were more focused on the discussion we were having. I think it was something about money, then our surroundings. I think we walked for an hour before I noticed it was deathly quiet. There were no birds chirping or any sounds of wildlife to speak of. It was unsettling. I was about to mention it to my wife, but she brought it up first. I think she said something to the effect of, "I feel strange, like I should be scared." I told her I felt the same way, similar to the feeling of being watched. We couldn't explain the feeling, but we knew we were feeling the same thing at relatively the same time. I processed this, and my thought was, are our bodies/minds trying to tell us something? Around the time I had this thought, she made a decision for us and said, I think we need to turn back, now. I didn't waste any time arguing, and we turned around right then and there. We walked for about 15 seconds before she said, I feel like we need to run. So run we did. We ran straight through for a solid 20 minutes or so, periodically looking over our shoulders for anything that might be trailing us, but we never saw anything. As we approached the truck, it wasn't until then that I noticed I heard birds chirping again. I don't know if there was ever anything out there, but it sure felt like it. Next story. A friend of mine related this story to me a few years ago while we were bow hunting in Garfield County, Oklahoma. My friend is half Creek Indian. His father was full-blood and his mother was of Irish descent. His family lived on a farm way out in Osage County. His father owned some land back west in Garfield County, but the ground wasn't producing wheat very well, so they leased the place out in Osage to run cattle on. They had a quarter section of open meadow that was used for their feed and a quarter section of densely wooded land. The wooded area almost surrounded the open area. Before daylight one October morning, my friend woke with a start to his father's voice telling him to get up immediately and get dressed. He reluctantly obeyed. He walked into the kitchen where his father already had a carbide light lit and was waiting at the door. His father shoved the light in my friend's hand, at the same time handing him a 30-30. Something is running the cattle. His father had a lantern and a rifle. This was in the early 50s before flashlights were commonplace. Walking at a brisk pace, they hid in a direction the cattle were moving away from. They crossed the fence and walked on the outside in case the cattle were flushed towards them. They were getting ready to round the corner of the fencing when something caught their eyes. A tuft of reddish-brown fur on the top strand of a 5-strand fence. As they approached, they could barely see some blood on the ground on both sides of the fence. They were preparing to head into the edge when they heard a heavy thud 10 yards in front of them. The remains of a calf lay on the ground. His dad detected movement behind a tree. He raised his rifle and fired. Something large and brown stood on two legs and ran off through the brush towards the back 40. They listened to it until it was no longer audible. His father put out his lantern and swore. They almost ran back to the house. At daybreak, his mother was sent into town and told to stay there with a friend until they came for her. Just before nightfall, they both climbed a big oak about 30 yards from the house. They waited. Sure enough, about an hour after dark, something started moving in. They could hear it walking in behind them. Every now and again, they could hear it stop and sort of snort like it was smelling the air. The night had become overcast and a little breeze had kicked up. They waited. Soon they could make out a dark figure breaking the tree line about 25 yards away. It stopped, raised up on two legs, and sniffed the air. It was barely visible in the inky blackness. His father had given him very specific instructions not to shoot anything until they knew for sure what it was. The creature approached the house and peered into one of the windows. After a moment, it dropped down on all fours and moved over to the next window where it stood up on two legs and peered in again. This time our friend caught a good look at it silhouetted against the window. It was 6 or 7 feet tall and was way wider than the 24-inch windows. It almost had no neck, more like a large bump between the shoulders. It had dark brown fur like a cinnamon black bear. My friend raised his rifle. His father pushed the gun down slowly and solemnly shook his head. After what seemed like forever, the creature moved back into the woods. They waited until dawn to climb down. His father told them of a wood spirit that would come and carry off children from the tribe in the night. His father believed this was one of them. They packed their few belongings, hitched the horses, and drove their few cattle away. My friend never saw that farm again. Many years later, his father explained that the creature they had seen was smart, violent, and terrible. His father couldn't remember what it was called in Cree, though. My friend told me that to this day he will never forget his father's words. My son, never ever shoot at that creature. It will kill you. Every time I remember this story, I make sure to check my SIG and flashlight on the bedside table. I still get goosebumps. I decided to do a little internet search and found a Creek legend about a man-eating, hairy, gorilla-like creature called the Kalowa. Next story. I used to live up the street from a forest that my friends and I would use as a shortcut between our two towns. We would party in there, and I would walk my dog in there for an hour every day. I was completely comfortable in there and could walk through the forest to the other side in the pitch dark and not even hit a tree. It was like my second home. One night, I was walking through the forest in the pitch black. I could hear a dog kind of doing its thing, sniffing around. I could tell it was a dog because I could hear its collar. I used to let my dog Jake do the same thing, let him run around and come back when he wanted. So I thought nothing of it and just kept walking until it started to huff and gruff at me. I thought maybe I just startled it. It was just sniffing around and maybe it didn't hear me over the sound of its collar and the leaves rustling. But it started getting aggressive. You can tell when a dog doesn't want you there. And it started coming towards me. So I started making sounds to let it know that I wasn't an animal. I was calling out to it like its owner would. I don't remember it barking or growling, but I remember hearing its breath and the sound of its feet as it started running towards me. I kept yelling, "Hey! Hey!" just to be assertive and stop it from attacking me. I couldn't see anything and it was escalating quickly, so I started running backwards to put some distance between me and the dog. I kept coming and I kept yelling and whistling very loud, trying to dissuade the dog from attacking me, but it was barreling towards me and closing distance quickly. There was nothing I could do. It was right on top of me, so I turned away from the attack. Still on my feet but crouched a little, I brought my elbows up to my chest and had my hands covering my face, all the while yelling, "Hey!" I got ready as much as I could and thinking I was about to be bitten or mauled, and guess what? Nothing happened. My heart was pounding and I looked around for that dog, but there was nothing there. There was no dog, no sound, no breathing or anything. It just wasn't there. I'm no back county man, but I spend my fair time in the outdoors. For someone that can walk through a dark forest without a flashlight, I'd say my senses are pretty good. There was something there coming at me, and then there wasn't. There was no way that dog just stopped 2 inches from me and walked away and disappeared. I'm left to speculate why it happened and about the history of that land. Who lived on it before and why that dog still roams the forest. It never happened again to me or any of my friends or brothers who spent time in those woods. Next story. Many years ago, my now ex-husband and I bought a cabin in the Sierras. It was in a little town called Arnold, below the Bear Valley Ski Resort. The second weekend after we bought the place, my parents joined us for the weekend. The cabin was only about 10 years old. The main living area and front door were on the second floor with an outside staircase running alongside the cabin to the door. There was also a mudroom on the lower floor that had a door opening onto the long cement driveway. We had 2 or 3 dobies at that time and also did rescue work, so we always had some foster dogs with us too. At that time we hadn't fenced in part of the yard for them, so I had to take each one out on a leash to go potty. Around 10 that Friday night, I was coming back with one of the young dogs, a very hyper female, and was walking up the staircase to the door with her on a short leash right next to me. She was wild and I didn't want her acting up and causing me to lose balance on the stairs. The cabin wall was on my right, the dog on the left, and then the stair railing. Just as we neared the top, something big brushed against my back. It almost felt like being brushed with a pillow. I turned around expecting to see my parents or my ex, and there was nothing there, just an empty flight of stairs. At that moment, I freaked and for the first time felt the hair stand up on my neck. The dog was fine and didn't react at all, likely because if she felt it, and I think she did, I'll explain later, she assumed it was me. I was seriously rattled by the experience. Apparently so rattled that my subconscious mind made an executive decision on the spot and decided we, as in we're not going to remember that incident. I walked into the cabin and completely forgot it happened instantly. Until 3 days later. My ex comes home from work and is chatting and he says, "Yeah, nothing happened on Friday night at the cabin. I was standing in the mudroom door and felt someone brush against me." He goes on to say he figured it was my dad, but when he turned around, nothing was there. In his infinite wisdom, he decided it must have been a deer running up the concrete driveway and brushing against him as he stood in the doorway. Maybe a flying reindeer? But there is no way he wouldn't have heard deer hooves clapping along the driveway. I'd totally blocked out the incident on the stairs. But when he said that, I got chills all over again and vividly remember what happened that same night. I have no idea what it was. No way it could have been an animal or even a bird on the stairs. And the dog never reacted at all. In hindsight, it was like something was passing by, and both the ex and I felt it. But there was no fear, nervousness, or emotion whatsoever until I realized whatever just touched me was not physical. Next story. I was hunting a few years back and discovered I needed some water. The stream was about 100 yards away. I grabbed the bucket and headed towards the stream on a narrow path that was through thick cover, not thinking about taking my trusty sidearm with me. I got about 20 yards away from the tent and heard something walking along beside me in the brush. I would stop, it would stop. I turned around and walked slowly back to the tent. After a while, I stopped sweating bullets and decided to try it again, this time with a flashlight and my 30-30 and my 40 caliber. Same thing happened. I walked slowly to the stream and back, and whatever it was walked with me, out of sight, not making any other sound except walking lightly on the leaves and sticks. Did not get much sleep that night, but managed to get some sleep the next day. My curiosity got the best of me, and I tried again that night. Same thing. Well, I decided that I could not continue without sleep, packed up and left. Talked to an elderly gentleman at a run-down hole in the wall, a very nice store, and he happened to ask where I was camping. When I told him, a small grin came over his face. He asked if I had had any unusual experience. I told him about what happened. "Yep," he said, "you're at the right place. Has happened to a few others, but no one has ever seen anything." Next story. I will share a story that to this day I only told my parents and my wife. As a kid, I grew up in Northeast Texas. My parents owned a lot of land, and all of our neighbors also had large plots of land surrounding our property. So I had literally several thousand acres that I could roam, with the nearest house to ours being several miles away. So I was very accustomed to rural areas and spent most of my free time playing and exploring all the woods in our area, following creeks, hunting, etc. By about 12 years old, I would take off for the day with my rifle and dog and return by dark, and my parents knew that I was safe. Anyhow, about 2 miles from my house was this small open field surrounded entirely by tall, thick pine trees. The open area was about 150 yards by maybe 60 yards, and for some reason, the cottontail rabbits liked this area, so I would often visit the area and do some rabbit hunting. By this time, I was 14. I would often take an old pup tent that I had and would set it up in different areas, take the dog, and camp out overnight. One day, I heard on the news that night it was going to be a meteorite storm, so I thought about camping to get a good view. Keep in mind, it was 1983-84, so not much else to do out in the rural areas at night. I remembered my old rabbit hunting area and the open field, so I decided to set up my camp there, since I would have a wide open view of the sky. I took along my old 30-30 rifle, the dog, tent, and some snacks, and an old AM radio that my dad had given me. I would often fall asleep listening to some sort of talkie radio, did not even care what the topic was. That night I waited for the meteorite storm, and only saw a couple of shooting stars, so I started listening to my radio with the large German Shepherd curled up at my feet in the tent. After some time, I fell asleep. Sometime in the night, didn't have a watch, I woke up by a combination of the dog licking my face, which the dog never did this in the night, and the radio making a sound that I had never heard before. The best I could describe it was, if you take a cell phone and get it close to a speaker, then you get that Morse code type clicking, but too fast for Morse code, with other noises mixed in. But obviously, in 1983, I didn't have a cell phone with me. I thought the radio was weird, but just figured the batteries were running out, so I turned it off and crawled out to take a pee. As I started to get out, the dog growled a little and nudged my arm as if trying to get me to stay inside. Ignoring the dog action totally, which was out of character, I crawled out and noticed that there were no stars or nothing when I looked up. It was so black that you would think I was in a cave. I stepped a little away from the tent while using the bathroom and noticing how black and totally quiet it was outside. Something in the air at the edge of the open field caught my eye. I looked closer and focused, and could see that it was part of the sky / stars. Then I had the feeling like something really big was over my head, so I got my flashlight, an old 6V battery style, and could shine on the trees a little, but when I shone into the sky, it was like there was nothing to reflect the light, no particles to reflect the beam of light. But I could still see a distant angle part of the sky. So the best that I can describe it was that something about 100 yards wide and long was over me, but it was totally dark, almost darker than the night, if that makes any sense. At this point, I was a little scared that something was going to just sit down and crush me, although in reality, I was not sure how far up this went, only that it was not enough past the trees for me to see the stars to the side, only a small patch of stars off in the distance behind me. So as scared as a 14-year-old could get, I took the rifle and fired a shot almost directly up. This is when things got really weird. The moment I fired the rifle about 100 feet above me, and in the direction I fired the shot in slow motion, I could see the bullet almost glowing as it continued the shot angle and then suddenly disappeared. Then before I could even think of what my next move was going to be, I was blinded by a white light, a flash like if you sat in a dark room for a while and then someone flashed a camera. When my eyes recovered from the light in only a few seconds, the sky was normal. I could see the sky all around me and even the moon. There was nothing more over me. The dog came out of the tent. I packed up everything, and when I got home, it was about 4 a.m. I visited that area many times after and never saw anything again, but I never had the courage to camp out overnight in that area. To this day, about 30 years later, I still cannot explain what happened that night.